Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December the 3rd. It's a cold, crunchy morning across Wisconsin, but the snow has let up for the time being anyway. Hope you enjoyed the first major winter storm of the season. I did, until it was time to shovel yesterday. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the State Capitol Report. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, made it in this morning to talk with you about the state political news from the past week and to give us a heads up on what's on tap for this week. And we will welcome your questions for him or your reaction to the news. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or talk at WPR.org. Sean Johnson, back from his vacation and back from battling a cold, joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, feeling better.
I hope I didn't give you my cold.
You know, you just can't escape it this time of year.
That's right.
Like.
Well, I'm glad to have you in. And you didn't get to cover every last item last week, but you did cover the tree lighting ceremony on Friday, didn't you?
Right, the all-important tree lighting ceremony. And it might normally be an event that we would miss, but with all this talk lately about what the state should call the tree, whether it should be a Christmas tree or a holiday tree, just wanted to see what the governor had to say.
Right, and I talked to Marlon Schneider on Friday. He is the Democrat from Wisconsin Rapids, the state representative who has proposed that officially we change the name of that tree from the holiday tree to the Wisconsin State Christmas tree.
Right, which is what it used to be called from, I think, 1916 to 1985 when it was changed to holiday tree to avoid a lawsuit. And so now lawmakers, a number of assembly lawmakers want to change it back. So reporters asked the governor, you know, what he thinks the state should call that towering evergreen in the Capitol Rotunda. And the governor says he refers to it as a Christmas tree, but it's up to everyone to decide for themselves what to call it.
It's a wonderful tradition to have this tree here, and if it's a Christmas tree for people, then it's a Christmas tree, and if it's some other kind of tree, people are free to call it whatever they want.
Should the state call it a Christmas tree or a holiday tree?
I couldn't care less.
In case you didn't hear that question, it was, should the state call it a Christmas tree or a holiday tree? And that was the governor's answer. Couldn't care less.
I think now, if I remember correctly, that there will be an assembly committee this week that will vote on Marlon Schneider's proposal.
Yes. Yeah. They had a hearing last week. They're going to vote this week. And supporters say they want to bring it to the full assembly soon.
Yeah, and I heard the governor, yes, say that he didn't think it was necessary to bring up such a divisive issue during this time of year and call it whatever you want to call it.
Right, he says it's time to be, you know, talking about peace on earth, things like that, not getting in fights over what you call the tree.
Yeah. Now, Governor Doyle, besides commenting on the holiday tree versus Christmas tree controversy, on Friday called a special session for campaign finance reform, which was the topic of our state capitol report. At this time, last Monday, we talked with Jay Heck of Common Cause Wisconsin, who was hopeful that the governor would call this special session, and I guess Jay Heck was right in being hopeful.
He was happy, mm-hmm. Yeah. It looked like the governor might not take that route for quite a while, but he has talked about wanting to do something with campaign finance reform. And so next week, the legislature was supposed to be in session anyway to debate other stuff, but the governor's going to call them into a special session to focus specifically on campaign finance reform. And, you know, from the sounds of it, this is something that will at least get a debate in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So
what sorts of things is the governor calling for in terms of what he wants the legislature to consider?
Well, he mentioned the letter that he sent out to legislative leaders calling for this special session, it didn't have a lot of details, but it mentioned a couple of bills that are already out there that would fully fund establish a fully public funded campaign finance system for Supreme Court candidates. It would increase public financing for candidates for other office, for the legislature, for the governor. It would increase the tax checkoff, the income tax checkoff from $1 to $5 to pay for it. And it would ban fundraising during budget talks, which there's a lot of fundraising in this last budget that negotiations that went on forever. So
yeah, those are all things that Common Cause wants.
These are all things that Common Cause wants. And so, that's probably why Director Jay Heck applauded the move.
I think the governor's doing exactly the right thing. The only way that campaign finance reform is going to become a priority and get acted upon is if it's done sooner rather than later. And with the 2008 elections right around the corner, it's something that he had to do right away.
So the special session will be next week while the legislature's already in session?
They're scheduled to be in session anyway, and
okay.
He called a special session. And, you know, when the governor can call a special session, they can't really force lawmakers to act. You know, the speaker in particular has been an outspoken opponent of public financing of political campaigns, saying, you know, nobody really enjoys what they see when they're seeing some of these nasty campaigns and the idea of using taxpayer dollars to pay for it. Speaker Mike Hipsch does not support that. But, you know, I think this will be at least a chance for people to talk about this. And I think the Supreme Court race is still fresh in people's minds, partly because the effects of it are still sort of lingering on and questions about conflict of interest, things like that. And so that proposal, the public financing for Supreme Court candidates, would be interesting to see what the sides say about that.
Yeah. Well, we are talking with our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, about state government news. It's our state capitol report when Sean reports on the happenings from the state capitol each week and lets us know what's likely to come up within the next few days or more. And we welcome your questions for Sean at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up a little later on the State Capitol Report, after 7:30, a ruling from a Dane County judge last week will allow a UW Oshkosh instructor to proceed with his lawsuit challenging the state's constitutional amendment that bans gay marriage and civil unions. We'll hear why he thinks amendment is unconstitutional coming up after 7:30. Right now, we are talking with Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, getting up to date on other happenings in state politics. Is this challenge against the constitutional amendment something both sides are watching very carefully?
Yeah, I'm sure the people that feel strongly about this issue are going to watch any court challenge. It's at this point, it's sort of out of the legislature's hands. They put this before voters, and the question got 59% from voters last fall. So I think everybody expected it would be in the courts at some point. It's a little interesting to see that the path that this lawsuit is taking, not being really a court watcher or any kind of legal expert, I kind of, you know, figured that there would be, if there was a court challenge, it might be from a couple that was challenging this state, constitution, preventing them from being in a civil union or something like that. But this is coming from, you know, a heterosexual man that it says that it violated his rights on other grounds. He couldn't.
Yeah, he wanted to vote for. He said that it was asking two questions.
Two questions, yeah, right? Yeah. And those should have been asked separately.
Well, we'll talk more with him about his reasons for challenging this amendment coming up after 7:30. Other legal news, I guess, to some extent, is that the Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen did decide on Friday not to appeal the Scott Jensen ruling, the ruling that overturned his verdict.
Right, and that was what we were waiting on. That was sort of the next step in the process. Earlier, I guess it was last month now, in November, an appeals court ruled that Scott Jensen's case should head to a retrial because jurors were given a bad instruction in the case, and Jensen wasn't allowed to make his case to the degree that he should have been able to. And so this case that was charged 5 years ago that went to trial a year and a half ago, it continues to drag on, but the fact that it won't go to the Supreme Court, it was the Attorney General's decision, but it's something that Dane County District Attorney Brian Blanchard, who prosecuted Jensen the first time around, concurred with.
Mm-hmm. An important upside of today's decision by the Attorney General is that it allows us to move forward toward the speediest possible final resolution of this case.
So this trial will, this retrial will be going on next year, presumably?
Well, presumably. I mean, there's a couple options at this point. It could go to a retrial. If that happens, how quickly it happens depends on how quickly the sides and the judge can get their calendars straightened out. And if it does happen, that was a 3-week trial called on dozens of witnesses. The average person might not call that speedy exactly, but the other option, of course, is a plea deal. It's something that the sides didn't want to reach the first time around. Jensen and prosecutors didn't want to reach the first time around. But that's the way that all these other cases against legislative leaders were wrapped up, were in plea deals, where these leaders served some jail time, still got work release, things like that. But they avoided the hefty prison sentence that Jensen was handed. Jensen was handed a 15-month prison sentence for his crimes. So that's, there are reasons that both sides might look at a plea deal at this point.
Let's talk about pay raises, including, in the spirit of full disclosure, our own as academic staff members of the University of Wisconsin. Sean, what did the legislature do in terms of pay raises for themselves, state employees, and UW system staff last week?
Yeah, these are for non-represented workers. These aren't for the unions that bargain with the state. The legislature voted to give basically a cumulative 5% pay increase over the next 18 months or so. 2% kicking in right away, 2% the next fiscal year, and then another 1% in April of 2009. And so that applies to, I want to say around 26,000 employees altogether when you take the non-represented state employees and the University of Wisconsin faculty and academic staff. And it also applies to lawmakers and the governor. Mm-hmm. And they'll be getting raises as well when their new terms start.
Yeah, they don't get it during an existing term.
They don't get it during the existing term, no. Mm-hmm.
But the UW system president wasn't so sure that even this was enough of a raise for the UW system.
You've heard the system talk mm-hmm. about this quite a bit, that they're falling behind other comparable institutions when it comes to what they pay their faculty and their staff. And so when it comes to recruiting people and they want to have the top-notch people in the classrooms, they say it's tough to do that when the competing institutions are paying them more. So Kevin Riley was saying we need to look at other options for how we pay our faculty and our staff, a competitive pay. Because right now, even with this 5%, they're going to fall further behind.
Yeah, there was a Milwaukee's Mayor Tom Barrett is upset with some state law in terms of paying police officers even after they've been dismissed. What is this all about?
Yeah, Milwaukee gets special treatment when it comes to the way fired officers are handled. In Milwaukee, when you get fired, you keep getting paid if you're a police officer during the course of your appeal. So that can be lengthy, and sometimes an officer ends up being guilty, it doesn't matter because that pay really racks up there. And so something that the mayor, Tom Barrett, has wanted to change for quite a while. He wants to cut off the pay of officers when they're fired. So he was testifying before a Senate committee on that proposal that would do that last week. Barrett says that it's cost his city more than $4 million since 1990.
This state law hampers my ability to put more police officers on the street because we are spending so much money on police officers who have been fired and often also charged with committing a crime.
I don't know what's going to happen with that this year, though, because mm-hmm. there's competing proposals advancing in the legislature. The police union says that, they're against this plan that would cut off pay immediately. They're working on something that would force the case to go to a police and fire commission first before a firing completely takes effect. That kind of gridlock has sort of killed proposals like this in the past. There was something in the last session, for example, that Senate Democrats wanted, the governor supported, but it ultimately died. And this is something that was put into the budget this year, too, by Senate Democrats. They passed it. They're all behind it, but it ultimately was taken out of the budget. So it does not have an easy road ahead.
Yeah. I heard there was a news conference by some state lawmakers. They want to propose eliminating the statute of limitations on childhood sex abuse cases.
Yeah, and right now, someone who wants to bring a civil suit in a childhood sexual abuse case has to do it before their 35th birthday. And these lawmakers want to just get rid of that so that at any time in someone's life, they can bring a lawsuit against an adult who attacked them or abused them as a child. And that's already something that they have an option to do in criminal court. You can there's no statute of limitations for these cases in criminal court. But advocates say that's not enough. And so that's why this is a major priority for them. And, one of the major advocates is Ted Thompson. He heads the National Association to Prevent Sexual Abuse of Children.
When a child is a victim of sexual abuse and they are still a child, number one, they don't report, as has been mentioned. And by the time they do report to police, the evidence, for a criminal conviction just isn't there. I mean, a child who's been sexually molested at age 7 isn't going to keep, their underwear. They're not going to keep, evidence in their drawer so that 30 years later they can bring a criminal action against the person.
Yeah, so this is a bill that will be considered during this upcoming session?
Not in this calendar year, no. Considering they just introduced it, but it has bipartisan support to start with, a Democratic senator and a Republican assemblyman, which is almost a necessity to get something passed through this split legislature right now.
I wanted to ask you, Sean, I saw, I think it was last week, a front page article in one of our papers, it might have been the State Journal, that was calling Wisconsin the ashtray of the Midwest because of surrounding states that are going to be implementing their smoking bans and concern that smokers from Illinois or Minnesota or wherever would cross the border to smoke it up in Wisconsin taverns because we don't have that ban. What's the status of the proposed smoking ban in Wisconsin?
Well, it seems like it's stalled right now. The governor's going to hold an event later this morning in Madison and another one in Milwaukee today where he's going to call on the legislature to act on the smoking ban and also on this mandate. Unrelated, sort of, but this mandate that insurers cover autism. I don't know what's going to happen with that. A lot of people feel like this plan is pretty much dead. You heard Senator Russ Decker, who's the new Senate Democratic Majority Leader, moments after he was elected to that post by his Democratic colleagues, he said that he wanted to get opponents of this plan together with supporters of this and work out a compromise. And you would think that any compromise is pretty much going to rule out the idea that you're going to have a smoking ban in all public places, all bars, bowling alleys, restaurants, things like that. So, from what we've heard, it seems like it's unlikely that that's going to happen. Also, in the assembly, I think the chances for any kind of smoking ban were possibly dim to start with. But if there's one person who can get these two sides of the legislature to work together, it's going to be the governor. I don't know if he can do it on this issue, but he has the bully pulpit and he's going to use it today.
Well, we're out of time for this portion of the State Capitol Report. Sean, thanks a lot for being here. And maybe I'll join you next week. You say the floor session and the special session will be taking place?
Right.
All right. Maybe I'll see you at the Capitol at that time.
All right. Thanks.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. We will talk about a challenge to the constitutional amendment banning gay marriage in Wisconsin coming up after the news. It's 7:36. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this Monday morning, December the 3rd. I'm Joy Cardine, and our State Capitol Report continues in this half hour with a look at a legal challenge to the state's newest constitutional amendment, the one that defines marriage as being between a man and a woman and says that the state will not recognize gay marriages or civil unions. Our guest this hour is challenging that amendment, and a Dane County judge ruled last week that he could proceed with the lawsuit. We will wonder what you think about this challenge and whether you agree or disagree with his premise that the wording of the amendment posed two different questions and didn't allow us as voters to vote separately on whether or not we wanted to allow gay marriage or whether or not we wanted to allow civil unions. And he says it should have. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere, welcoming your questions and reactions to this lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the state constitutional amendment that defines marriage in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Bill McConkie, a political science instructor at UW-Oshkosh, the author of the book, How Voters Choose, and the plaintiff in a lawsuit over the state's marriage amendment, the one that bans gay marriage and civil unions. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what made you decide to challenge this amendment?
Well, two things. One, it's just a horrible, horrible precedent. It says that the government, through this amendment process, can select a certain group of people and just deny that one group all of the liberties, protections, laws that the 14th Amendment says you can't do that. And what this amendment did was said, well, we'll just pick this group. We'll pick these homosexuals and we'll set them aside, and they can't have the same freedoms that everybody else has. And that's just, that precedent just scares the lights out of me. I mean, who's next? Short people or Jews or black people or Hispanics? We can't go down that road. Maybe in another nation somewhere, but not down that road.
Yeah, but you're not challenging this based on discrimination necessarily, are you?
Well, I did originally. Mm-hmm. My original lawsuit had 3 points to it. One point was that the amendment violated the U.S. Constitution in several ways. The second part of it, it violated several parts. It was in direct conflict with several other parts of the Wisconsin Constitution. And then the third part was that the amendment, to be on the ballot in the first place, you can't have more than one subject in the amendment. Well, the court ruled that I didn't have any standing on the first two issues, the constitutionality issues, because I'm a married man, straight, kids, grandkids. Mm-hmm. And so they said, you have no standing. But as a voter, I argued that I had standing because the amendment was misworded. It was wrong. It was, as the judge said, it was constitutionally defective. And so I was given standing on that. Yeah. And so we're going forward.
Yeah, and so you're saying as a voter, somehow you were hurt by this amendment that posed two questions in one?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Because part of being a voter is to be allowed free discussion and choices. If there's no choices, it's like the old Soviet elections. If there's really no choices, why bother having the election? And in a democracy like this, if we're going to have an election and allow the majority to do this thing, let's put all the choices out there. And the other thing, you can't have a legitimate, intelligent discussion when there are several subjects in the amendment, but you're only allowed to vote on one. So you're harmed in the campaign or in the decision-making process.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to weigh all the options. And so, yes, you're harmed.
Yeah. Explain to us a little bit more as to how this amendment was asking you two different questions that you might have voted differently on had they been posed separately.
Well, there's more than two, but I'll go through this. First of all, the question is simple. Like, shall marriage be between one man and one woman? And that's a simple, yes or no question. Do you approve of gay marriage or not? I think that's unconstitutional, too, but in terms of the U.S. and Wisconsin Constitution. But the second part, which says a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized in the state, is an entirely different subject, because all of a sudden we're getting into not marriage, which is carefully prescribed, but civil unions, which is not carefully prescribed. And what does substantially similar mean? And for unmarried individuals, that phrase is not gender specific. So that includes not only, let's say, two women or two men, but it also can include a man and a woman.
Right. The Wisconsin Public Radio and the St. Norbert College Survey Center do a poll every fall and spring on a number of different issues. And prior to this constitutional amendment being on the ballot, we did ask separate questions. And the as to whether or not people supported a ban on gay marriage, but also whether or not they supported or opposed civil unions. And the answers to those two different questions were different. More people did not support gay marriage, but more people did support civil unions.
That's absolutely correct. There's a lot of survey data. There's your survey with mm-hmm. Norbert's, but there was a tremendous amount of tracking research done, as you can imagine, in a campaign like that. And it always had the same results, that when the question was gay marriage, people were opposed, but when it was civil unions or domestic benefits or any other way you worded it, people were in favor. So there were two distinct different things in the voters' mind. And by the way, in the legislative debates, there were debates on two different subjects and whether or not to combine them. I mean, it's even in the judge's decision, even in the state's motion to dismiss my case, they addressed them as two subjects.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some calls. Bob in Eau Claire, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm wishing this gentleman all the best luck getting this done, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I got to watch the hate-filled homophobes carve into the state constitution the official fact that we are second-class citizens or even less. And this is a huge percentage of the people in Wisconsin, and that's what you're fighting. You're fighting those people. Me, I don't have to fight them anymore. I just look at them and laugh. I mean, they're just pathetic.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of Wisconsin is pathetic. That's all I wanted to say. I wish him luck, but don't hold your breath.
All right, thank you. I guess Bob, he doesn't. He is not too hopeful. Bill McConkie.
Well, I don't. I'm not holding my breath either. I'm 65, so I don't hold my breath either. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do differ with the gentleman that called. I don't think the Wisconsin people are evil people. I think they had an opinion about gay marriages, and they expressed it at the polls. I think the legislature, and let me put it this way, I think there was a large number of people in the legislature who are evil people, who put this on the ballot for purposes that were totally, that have anything to do with the gay marriage issue. This thing was a very hot political item. It was placed on the ballot by the conservative Republicans to help turn out Republican votes. Mike Tate and the people of Fair Wisconsin, they kind of liked it because they could use it to turn out liberal college kids to vote for Jim Doyle, and it worked. And I think the gay community was caught in between. But one other thing I want to say. It's okay if he's tired of fighting the fight, if he wants to sit back. That's not who I am. I can't live with myself if I see something that's this wrong, if I don't try to do something. It doesn't mean I'll win. I used to be a boxer. I didn't win all the time, but I fought. And I will fight this thing, whether I win or lose. And if I lose this bout, I'll find another way to fight it.
Our guest is Bill McConkie, political science instructor at UW Oshkosh. He's the author of the book How Voters Choose, and he's also the plaintiff in a lawsuit against the state's marriage amendment, the constitutional amendment that bans gay marriage in Wisconsin and civil unions. Dane County judge ruled last week that Bill McConkie's lawsuit could proceed. And we are talking about it during this hour and welcoming your questions about it and your reactions to it at 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, Bill McConkie arguing that as a voter, his rights were violated because this amendment posed two questions at the same time, and he wasn't able to vote on them separately. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, December the 3rd. It is the first Monday of the month, and as we usually do on the first Monday, we will welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo, to share some news with you and to hear your feedback. And today, a special guest, the new director of talk programming. Our talk director, Cheryl Gasser, will also be in and will focus most of the hour on Ideas Network talk shows. That's coming up after 8. Taking your calls now for Bill McConkie, who is a political and science instructor at UW Oshkosh, and the plaintiff in a lawsuit against the state's gay marriage ban, the constitutional amendment defining marriage that is now in our Constitution. Tim in South Milwaukee is next. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I wanted to thank your guest, first of all, for taking a stand. If more people did that, the real voices would be heard. I just wanted to comment and let people know, see, my stake in the whole matter, I'm 44 years old. I have had, my partner and I have been together for 11 years. And it's not so much about being able to say we're married as it is being able to share each other's lives. You know, he's got a decent job, and on the other hand, I just graduated a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, from college. So we're on different paths, but we're sharing together. And part of that would be nice to be able to not necessarily be recognized, you know, as a married couple, as much as people who are committed to each other. And I really think, you know, if they were really trying to protect marriage and all the rhetoric that the, you know, the right wing used, then they would have to outlaw divorce first, because that's the biggest threat to marriage, you know. And I really, really am thankful that there are people who are taking a stand, and I wish you well. And I really think we'll have a better outcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. You have a reaction, Bill McConkie?
Well, yeah, I do. I'm not of the same persuasion, but that's none of my business. That's their business, and I wish them very well. Any effort to diminish people in any way diminishes all of us. And I can't live with that, and that's why I'm making this stand. I don't believe in you know, singling out people and diminishing them in any way. We should be uplifting people.
Yeah. Do you know, Bill McConkie, you are, you know, your lawsuit can proceed as you were granted standing as a voter in terms of the wording of this referendum, but you were not considered to have standing in the discrimination aspects of it that you claimed. Why haven't, or don't, do you know why gay people or lesbians have not filed their own suits along those lines?
That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. As far as why haven't some individuals, mm-hmm. it's a hard thing to do. I mean, you have to stand out there, and you don't know whether anybody's going to come with you or not, and say, okay, I'm going to take on the state, and I'm going to come out in front of the whole world, and that's a little intimidating. And plus the fact, a lot of people just don't know how to do that. I happen to be a college professor, and I could figure some things out. And so I went off and did that. And I have no fault with people who, matter of fact, I have compassion for people who maybe are afraid to try to do it by themselves. I won't question their mm-hmm. motives or lack thereof. I do have some heartburn with the organizations. I got into it a little bit with some of the people at Fair Wisconsin for not filing a lawsuit. As a matter of fact, during the campaign, I was going to file this lawsuit then, and Mike Tate talked me out of it from Fair Wisconsin when he was executive director. But I want to say now that Glenn Carlson, who's the interim executive director, says they're going to join in and be an active part of this lawsuit. And that encourages me, and I'm glad to hear that. But I can't question other people's motives. I don't know. Maybe Fair Wisconsin had money problems or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as individuals, it's kind of scary out there, you know.
Yeah.
And I attended a meeting on campus the other night of a group of gay young men, and they're a pretty insecure, frightened, harassed, beaten down group of people. And when I was leaving that meeting and walking back to my office, I said, you know, I'm doing a good. I patting myself on my back. I said, I'm doing a good thing here. I'm fighting for people who are kind of afraid to fight for themselves, and I understand that fear. And so I'm doing it, and I don't question the motives of others.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tim, for the call. Dennis in Sister Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I wanted to applaud your efforts, Mr. McConkie, regarding this suit. As a straight person, I've always felt that any initiative to discriminate against homosexuals or others is so antithetical to our Constitution and the preamble thereof. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. I always had the fantasy that maybe this would end up in the Supreme Court, where they would interpret the constitutional basis for this.
Yeah.
I want people to stay out of our bedrooms and our nursing home rooms, i.e. Shivo, and that seems to be what Republicans are about.
Well, any reaction, Bill McConkie?
Well, I have a couple. Thank you for your support. I'm in Bailey's Harbor right now. We have a lot of snow up here, sir, in Sister Bay area. We have a lot of constitutional issues, big constitutional issues. The thing to remember, though, is that we have courts that are made up of judges that are different at different times based on who appointed them or so on. And I think these lawsuits will make their way through the court system. And the reason I say these, if my lawsuit based on the single subject rule fails, there will be subsequent lawsuits on the constitutionality by people with standing. I won't name them, but I know who they are. And we're not going to quit. We're going to push these because this legislation is wrong. The party thing bothers me. I've been a Republican all my life, but my party has left me. I mean, they've gone off and done things that are just the antithesis of what I thought the Republican Party was for. So I don't agree with my party on this issue. Not at all in any way. So that doesn't bother me anymore.
I want to tell you, Bill McConkie, that our phone lines have been lighting up. All the lines have been filled throughout this half hour. But the vast majority of all the calls just wanted to call in to say thank you or we support your effort and that don't necessarily want to go on the air with a question or anything more than that. So just wanted to let you know that there's a lot of people out there. You probably know that already, though. What kind of reaction have you received over this lawsuit?
Well, I've received a lot of emails from people who want to intervene on behalf of the lawsuit, who say, we want to join, what can we do, how can we support you? A lot of thank yous. When I say a lot, I don't mean hundreds, probably a total of 40 in the last week. There's been a one or two negatives. Only one of the two I would call kind of a hateful, spiteful, I'm a sinner going to hell kind of thing. Those don't bother me. There was one very academic piece of email sent to me about some very finite constitutional law issues, and it was over my head. I have an attorney for that. I can't figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been good, I want to tell everybody that's listening that has really helped, because it's been a lonely process up until right now.
Yeah, we do have a couple of callers that I'd like to get in. Tim and Ladysmith. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think your guest has some has a good heart, but I disagree with his stand. Now, let me say, I voted for the amendment, I should say. I'm not a homophobe, and it bothers me all the time when you hear people calling anybody who disagrees with the gay lifestyle, you're somehow a bigot, you're a homophobe, or you're a hate monger.
Yeah.
I don't hate gay people. I've had many friends who are gay, but I strongly disagree with that lifestyle. And I think one of the problems we have going on here is the people of Wisconsin have voted. But see, once again, we try to take the power away from the people and we put it in the hands of the courts. And I'm disturbed by the way our country is going, that when the legislative process, if people don't get their way, well, let's take it out of the hands of the legislative process. Let's put it in the court system.
Yeah, let me get a reaction to your point, Tim, from Bill McConkie.
Yeah, and thank you, and I'm glad I get to react to that. I will remind the caller that the will of the people is 19 men with a rope and one poor guy with a neck. And the reason we have the courts is so that when the passions of the moment or special interest groups can sway a legislative group to do something or even on a ballot and referendum. When the passion of the moment sweeps against people who have protected rights, the reason we have the courts is so that we can go and ask for redress. When you're in a minority group and the will of the people strikes you down, you only have two avenues. One's the court system and the one's the street. And I prefer the court system. I honor his right to disagree with me and have a different opinion. But I think he needs to think long and hard about it's wrong to go to court. The court is a place of protection for him as it is as well as it is for me.
Yeah, and we're out of time for this half hour. Is there a scheduled next step for your lawsuit, Bill McConkie?
Well, there's supposed to be a phone call between my attorney and the judge and some other people to set some dates for hearings and things, and I don't really know when that is yet.
Yeah. Well, we'll follow it, and I hope you'll come back and talk some more with us as it goes through the system. Thanks very much for being with us.
And thank you.
Bill McConkie. He's of Bailey's Harbor, but he is also a political science instructor at UW-Oshkosh, challenging the state's constitutional amendment that bans gay marriage and civil unions. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.